So, I have a couple of things here this morning that I thought would be some fun. First off, is I have a little bit of a challenge, is I need to put this piece of wood, by the way, I need to put this nail using this hammer into this block of wood. What do you think? Think I could do that? So that's kind of our first challenge this morning, is to put this nail into this block of wood. Let's see how we do. All right, ready? It's going okay. Thank you. All right. We have another challenge. This is a lag screw. Kind of looks a lot like a nail, but it's not really like a nail. It's more like a bolt, right? It's got some screws on it for those of you in the back who might be over 20. This is a lag screw, all right? It's not a big nail. All right, now, here's our second challenge, is to put this lag screw using this hammer into this block of wood. What do you think? Think it's going to work? Let's try it. Come on, you think it's going to work? Come on. Well, let's try it. Let's see. All right, now I don't want to hurt myself. But I'm going to hit a little hard. Let's see. Oh! All right. I don't think it's going to go in there. All right. So using a hammer may not be the best way to go with the lag screw. All right, I got one more challenge. Is I need to warm up my cup of coffee this morning, and I'm going to use a hammer. What do you think? Think that'll work? Let's see if I warm up my cup of coffee. I don't want my coffee to splatter everywhere, so I'm going to wrap it up into this. And let's see how it works. All right, you ready? Oh, don't spill it. Let's see. Oh, did it work? Oh, no. Oh, let's see. Let's see if I have a, this is not a magic trick, by the way. Let's see if I have a steaming cup of hot coffee. Oh, no, I don't, actually. Can you see it in the back? It's a broken coffee mug. Yeah. The coffee magically disappeared. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Get out your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This morning we're going to be looking at changing one season at a time. And before we jump into it, why don't we pray? Let's do that. Lord, it's easy for us to become comfortable and to want to stay in a warm little bubble of life. But Jesus, you've created us to grow and to change and to become more and more like you. Lord, I pray this morning that you will show us where we need to change and why we resist. We don't like to change. We resist it. Lord, show us what we miss if we refuse, and reveal our heart to us and what you would like to do for us and what you would like for us to do in your name, if only we would change. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the first thing that we're going to look at is the changes of season, and we see this in verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what was planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Let's look at it. It says, for everything there is a season. And if you count, there are 19 pairs of contrasting times or truths here given to us. Birth, death, plant, harvesting, kill, heal, and so on. There's 19 of those contrasting things. And from these 8 verses, Solomon is showing us one big point. And before we get into it and before we kind of start progressing, I don't want you to miss the point. And here's the big thing is that your life will change. And you have to change how you deal with it. Your life will change and you have to change how you deal with it. If I would have taken my hammer and I could just beat everything. You know that guy, you know that girl, that they have the same, that's the same way they deal with every life situation is with a hammer. They just come in and boom. And well, that doesn't always work, does it? For that one time in their life, it may have worked, but it's quit working now. But they still want to use the hammer. If you deal with every life situation or you deal with every season of your life in the same way, it's going to be like trying to warm up your coffee with a hammer. The seasons change, whether you like it or not, and you can't harvest in the spring and you can't plant in the winter. You have to figure out what season it is and how am I going to deal with this season. You may have figured out how to plant. You've gone to planting school. You may have even grown up in a planting family. You've gone to planting conferences. You've planted thousands of plants. But guys, it's not time to plant anymore. And no matter how much you dress like it's spring, you're going to get chilly and cold. No matter how much you yell at the ground about how it's not springy enough and pout, it's just not spring anymore. You just can't plant anymore. And you have to change. The season has passed. And you've learned about planting, but now the season has changed, and now you have to learn about waiting. But you don't like to wait. You don't like the winter. You don't like the summer. You don't like this. You want to be planting. You don't want to wait. You've moved from something that you know, something that you love, something that you understand, to something that you don't know, something that you're not comfortable with. Before, in the spring, you loved the spring. You loved to plant. You loved to get up early in the morning and gather your tools together and go out into the field and map out how all the plants are going to be done. And you love the feel of taking the seed and putting it in the ground. And that you just love springtime. You love to plant, but it's not spring anymore. But you keep planting. Now, you can keep doing that. And if we follow those contrasting pairs that are there, you can keep planting, you can keep killing, you could keep breaking down, you could keep weeping, you could keep mourning, you could keep casting away, you could keep on holding on, you could keep on keeping on, you can keep tearing apart, you can keep quiet, you could keep loving, you could keep warring. You could keep doing all of those things, but it's not that time anymore. It's time for the harvest. It's time to heal. It's time to build. It's time to laugh. It's time to dance. It's time to gather stones. It's time to refrain from embracing. It's time to get rid of stuff. It's time to cast away. It's time to sew stuff up. It's time to say something after season of being quiet. And you have a righteous hate. It's time to live in peace. It's time to change in your life. You can't continue to live as if it were spring. It just simply makes no sense, right? You can't hold on to where you were 10 years ago or even 5 years ago or maybe even last year. You can't stay in that place. Time rolls on. And if you keep living your life with a hammer, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 2004, 2005, 2007, 2009. Eventually, you're going to go from what made sense to what almost made sense to what is absolutely ridiculous. You see it in everybody's life. I wouldn't say everybody, but you may look around and you may see it in people's lives where they're doing things that are like makes absolutely no sense. Why are you living this way? Why are you doing things this way? Why are you trying to accomplish tasks and things this way? It makes no sense now. But it worked a little while ago. It worked last year. It worked 5 years ago. It worked 30 years ago. Let's keep banging away with that hammer. See what happens. You can't continue to live as if it were spring. It makes no sense. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I become a man, I gave away childish things. We have to acknowledge that life changes and we must change how we respond to it. Think of the man who's 30, who only lives for himself. If he doesn't get what he wants, he pouts and he throws a fit and he goes, and you're like, dude, quit acting like a child. You can't act that way now. You're grown up. You're being ridiculous. You have to act like you're mature. Same thing in our spiritual lives. We keep acting like, you can't act like that now. You've been a Christian for 5 years now. You've been a Christian for 10 years now, 20 years now. Why are you still trying to live with a hammer in your hand? It's time to change. We don't get the luxury of controlling time. Man, wouldn't that be great? Man, I would love to just press the pause button, take a nap, get in the hot tub, and then come back out refreshed, mash play, we'll be ready to go. Wouldn't that be awesome if you could just mash the pause button in life? But you can't. It keeps rolling on. It just keeps on going. But we have to choose, even though it keeps rolling, we still have to choose how we're going to respond to it. You can't choose what happens in life, right? You can't choose that my life has changed. That you just can't choose that. Life happens. It rolls on. The days change. We can only choose to plant or not, right? When the guy gets up in the spring, he makes the choice. I have some plants. I could go out in the field and plant if I want to or not. Same is true with us. As the season has changed, I get to choose how I deal with the season. What am I going to do with it? It's harvest time. I'm supposed to be harvesting. I think I'll harvest. Or you could say, I don't want to harvest. I don't like harvesting. It's too hot. I'm just going to plant. Well, that doesn't make sense to keep planting when it's harvest time. We have to follow God's order. We don't get to control when the seasons come about. Wouldn't that be awesome if it was like 75 degrees or 72 degrees year-round? Maybe if we lived in San Diego or something. But here, we can't choose that. It's going to get cold. It's going to get hot. It's going to be about 2 weeks where it's really nice. And we don't get to choose that. So we have to follow God's order. A few years back, we had a family that visited our church. And they had come for a week or two, and so I asked them if I could meet them for lunch. And so we went to my office, Panera, and we sat there in Panera, and we started talking about, you know, I wanted to get to know them a little bit. I wanted to ask them some questions, kind of see if they had any questions about the church. I wanted to see if they were saved or not. I just wanted to see where they were in life. And so I asked them, and just kind of by way of just casual conversation, I asked the man, it was a couple, and I said, so what do you do for a living? And he goes, well, let me tell you about my vision. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. Sure, tell me about your vision. And he goes, well, about a year ago, he had a dream. And he began to kind of go on about how he felt as though God was calling him to be an astronaut. I'm like, oh, interesting. Now, how old are you? I'm 45. Oh, 45 years old, and God's calling you to be an astronaut. Oh, that's interesting. So I said, well, where'd you go to school? Well, I haven't finished college yet, and I'm working on some classes here. Oh, okay. All right. And looking at him, he wasn't in that great of a shape. You know, I mean, astronauts have to be pretty top, you know. And so I guess you're going to start working out here, too, in the next little while. I didn't say that, but... But I was really thrown for a loop. I was not really thrown for a loop, but it, like, how do you respond to that? You know, God's telling me I'm supposed to be an astronaut. But in my thinking, I don't think God's really called this guy to be an astronaut. I really don't. And like, well, Drew, who are you to tell him what he's supposed to be or not? That's not my point. My point is not trying to tell people what you're supposed to do and that kind of stuff. My point is that it might be that for this man in his life, there's a certain season that has passed. And now he might be in a different season of his life where his goals and priorities and things like that might need to become or might need to change. See, he never got to the what are you doing. He never got to the job part. So I went back to it. Like, oh, well, how exactly do you plan to finance this astronaut-seeking thing? He goes, well, my wife's working full-time, and I am at home working out, which I don't think he was, and taking up a class here or there. I think that he may have gotten his priorities off a little bit. I think there's a season in his life that has passed that he's not there anymore. And now, who am I to tell him what he's supposed to do? That's not what I'm trying to say. It's that in life, time rolls on, and there's certain things that once you pass, it doesn't make any sense for you to go back. Let's keep going. Two, a change of perspective. Verse 9. What gain has the worker for his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in man's heart, so that he cannot find out what God has done for the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to be good, or to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. So Solomon tells us that we can't control the seasons of life, only that we choose how we're going to respond to the seasons change. Now he discusses the things that we put our hands to do, these tasks, these toil that we are to be about. What does a person gain by the toiling, by the working, by the trying, by the doing, as opposed to doing nothing? What do you get by going to work? What do you get by trying to accomplish things in this life? Verse 10 says, I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. What task has God given man? What are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be busy doing? Let me just give you a couple, just so we can kind of think about it. Treat others as you would have them treat you. That's in Matthew 7. Help others. That's in Matthew 25. Don't worry. That's in Matthew 6. Read the Bible and learn all you can about it. Matthew 7, 24. Give thanks and be joyful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Pray. Matthew 6. Forgive your enemies. Matthew 6, 14. Watch what you say. Matthew 12. Tell others about Jesus, Matthew 28. And guys, I could go on and on and on and on. That's just a glimpse. That's some of the things that we're supposed to be doing in this life, the toil that we're to be about. And so if you put aside your desires and you have followed Christ and are trying to follow his commands, still life keeps changing on you. Does it not? Does it not change? You always feel like you're in the learning mode. You feel like you can never catch up. As soon as you get it, I got it, it changes. Crud. Life feels ugly, messed up, and always under construction. Who feels like that right now? Come on. If you feel like you got it all figured out and you're absolutely right, hang on, because tomorrow's coming. It's going to change. And that could create within you a frustration. Lord, I'm trying to do this thing that you call me to do. I'm trying to do these things that you want me to do, and yet the days just keep changing. The seasons keep changing. I have to always be learning how to deal with this. I don't like that feeling. The things we seek to do for Christ will not always be beautiful at once. This is the exciting part that I see in this passage. Is that your life is changing, your life is growing, your life is under construction, so to speak. But God says that it will be beautiful in its time. There's a time when your efforts, the things that you're toiling for in Christ, in its time, will become beautiful. Notice it says, he has made everything. If you have a pen and you're taking notes, that's a big one. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Not he will eventually get to making everything beautiful in its time. He has made. That's in the past tense. He's already done it. It's already in the process or has become beautiful. He made is in the past tense. So when Solomon wrote these words thousands of years before Christ came, and then thousands of years after Christ came, we sit here, God knew in the providence of time that you would seek to serve him, that you would give him your heart and your life, and that you would go after him with all that you have. And he knew that you would get frustrated and boiled down, and you would get worn out, and you would get tired, and you would scream out and say, I don't understand. Why is it that you keep changing things on me? And he's given you this verse this morning. He has already made it beautiful. You've given him your life and your heart, and you're serving him. No, it's already beautiful. Not ugly, not under construction, not working on it. It's already beautiful. We have a sunflower that grew in our garden. In our back of our house. The sunflower was not beautiful when some bird mysteriously took the seed from the bird feeder over to our little plot of ground and dropped the seed inside of it, into the flower bed. And then somehow it got dropped into the dirt and got covered up, and eventually, within time, it grew into this weed-looking thing that was growing up. And I didn't know what it was. I almost pulled it up. But about the time when I figured out what it was, it had this head on it that did this and popped open. And it was a sunflower. It was beautiful. Now, here's the thing in your life right now, that's eternity. You don't get to raise your head and go, ah, and look beautiful until it's all said and done. See, God is working on you, and he might be taking you and tilling up the soil mode. He might be putting you in the ground. At whatever stage you're at, you are already beautiful. You're just in a stage of growth. You see, he's already made you beautiful. The plant in and of itself is beautiful. Your life, and you look at it and you go, Drew, my life is not beautiful. My life is not beautiful. Yes, it is. Because God is going, he's using that. And here's the thing, is that we only see, boop, we only see the right now. God sees the eternal. So he says, yet, or verse 12, I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. You see, the joyfulness comes in the anticipation of the good we do as long as we live, of having a glimpse in eternity of the beauty that God had us to be a part of creating. We see the ugly, the transition, and the change. He sees the beauty, the eternity, and the smiles on our face when we get to eternity and we get a glimpse, just a grasp of the realization that the things that we have tried to do in His name then become beautiful. Wow, I was a part of that. When my hands were a part of that, it was kind of ugly. Well, that's okay. He's going to take it and make it beautiful. He sees it all. And he says that, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. It's going to be beautiful. It already is beautiful. And it's going to last forever. This beauty will not fade. It will last on and on and on. And we got to be a part of the process. The next thing is the change in eternity in verse 16. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. And I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. Verse 19. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath. The man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to the dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? I don't know. I don't know what happens here. So I say that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? So Solomon looks around, and instead of seeing justice and righteousness, he sees wickedness and then even more wickedness. And he tells us that there will come a day when mankind will be judged by its creator. For there is a time for every matter and for every work. Our work will be judged. So when I think of my work for the Lord, I feel like Solomon, that when he says it's incomplete, it's juvenile, it's rough around the edges, it's wicked on my part, it's selfish on my part, and far from perfect and pleasing to the Lord, I look around and say, these things that I put my hands to do, these things that I say I'm doing in the name of the Lord, when I step back and I look at them and evaluate, I just feel like a failure. Can I be transparent with you? Do you ever feel that way? The things where you get out there and you really work, and then you step back and you go, Lord, it looks like a third grader put this together. And you get frustrated. And you look at your life and you say, I've done all of these things, or I've lived these ways for years, and I look at my life and it just doesn't look polished, right? It doesn't look the way I feel it should look for the Lord. And we get frustrated. My work for him seems far from finished. And if he were to come today, and if he was like going to appear in glory, and then I take my life and say, Lord, here it is. I would be like, can you come back like a year? Give me like 6 months to kind of get this together. Is that, you ever feel that way? I would want to wait to be judged. Let me just try a little harder. Let me just get this thing right here in order. Here's the thing. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We know that part. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Solomon says that we all die. We all will be judged according to our work. But he has already made our work beautiful. Did you hear that? We were saved unto good works for him. He has already made the work beautiful. So the things that you do in his name, and those things that you go after, and the things that you try so hard to work and to do things, here's what you need to know, is that when you look at it, you see the half-grown plant. You see the ugly duckling. Right? You see the second grade log cabin put together with sticks and glue that you know, it just doesn't look professional. But at the end of the day, what God has created for all of eternity, it will be beautiful. We can have the joy of doing the work. It's fun if you think it doesn't really matter. Because God's going to fix it. No matter what I mess up, he's going to make it beautiful. All I have to do is to get in the game and just try. Just go after it. Just to work in his name. And he comes along and he fixes it and makes it right and makes it beautiful. In fact, he's already done it. He finishes the project. My boys in my Cub Scout den, we created a leather pouch. And I actually meant to bring it and I forgot. But it's a leather pouch that we made out of a piece of leather. Huh? And so there were seven boys around this table, and so I was kind of the leader. So I was trying to explain how to go through the process and what to do, and here's the needle we're going to use, and talking about safety with needles. You give a bunch of 7-year-olds a pointed metal object. That's not all that good. So you kind of here's the needle, and here's the thing we're going to use, and so I'm trying to explain, and the hour went by like. And all the boys, we did our kind of closing thing, and all the boys went home. Joshua and Caleb ran upstairs, and I looked at the table where Joshua and Caleb were standing. I had been so busy that I did not take a chance to come along beside them and to say, let's look at this. Let's talk about how this is going. And it wasn't good, I got to tell you. I don't think the marble bag would hold very many marbles. So what I did was I took the two marble bags and I went inside and I sat on the couch and I opened up this my little kit that I had the stuff in, and I hand-stitched all the way around their marble bags. I made their marble bags. They made their marble bags. I made their marble bags. You ask them, who made your marble bag? I made this marble bag. Who made the marble bag? Daddy made the marble bags. And so when they sport that thing and they walk around and they wear it on their hip, who made that marble bag? I made this marble bag. This is my marble bag. Did they really make the marble bag? The ministries and things that you're about, your family, those things that you're really trying to serve the Lord, and you look at it and you say, who's going to make the marble bag? Who's going to make this family? Who's going to build this church? Who's going to really fix these ministries? Who's going to really do that? Daddy is going to fix these things, not us. We get all consumed about us, and we forget that it's going to be beautiful in his time. We're faithful to work. We're faithful to do the things that God's called us to do, and in his time, it will become beautiful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for taking our lives, for taking it when we've just tried to do things in and of ourselves and in our own efforts, and we really just got it. We just messed it all up. But Lord, we thank you that you love us enough to come along beside us and say, let me see what you got. And Lord, if we hand it over to you, you take it and you save us. You create a passion and a work and a joy within us that's beyond any comprehension. We just can't even explain it when we start talking to people about it. We put our hands to the work that you've called us to do, and we're so inadequate as humans. We stumble and we fall and we sin. But Lord, we trust your word this morning that in one day, in eternity, you're going to pull us aside and go, look. And we're just going to stand amazed at the fact that you used us to be a part of that. Lord, you've told us you've already made it beautiful. Lord, our prayer this morning is that we just get off of ourselves and stop focusing so much on us and focus more on you and the fact that you make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, we thank you for doing that in our hearts and in our lives. And there might be someone here this morning that hasn't given their heart to you. Lord, they're sitting here and they're still holding on to their lives. They don't want to hand it over, but Lord, you're moving in their hearts right now, and you are saying, just let me have your heart and let me have your life. Let me fix this sin problem for you. Lord, if that's this person, then they could say a prayer something like this: Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I've tried to live my life my way. I'm not living for you right now, but I want to change. Lord, could you take my sin away? Could you forgive me? Lord, I want to live for you now. I want to become a Christian. I'm doing that right now. With everybody still praying, with everybody still have your eyes closed, if you said that prayer, could you just raise your hand? I want to be praying for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Lord, I also pray for those of us in this room who came into this room this morning and we just felt as though our lives were ugly and broken, that we are failures for you. And Lord, it's my hope this morning that through your word that now we walk out understanding that you are making us more like Christ through this pain. Lord, that you are making our life, you have already made our life beautiful, and that one day we trust in your word that it will be made perfect. And Lord, the fact that we are not failures, but Lord, that you have worked within us and that you are using us to accomplish great and mighty things. So Lord, we want to renew our heart and our passion to you right now. We want to ask you to just give us a renewed sense of energy and excitement for you and your work and your church, and help us just to understand that it's all about Jesus. And Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.